God, our eternal Heavenly Father, Thou art truly a Father to be praised, Father. We truly praise Thee today as we come before Thee to lift up our voices to Thee, O God, to thank Thee for Thy gifts and blessings in our lives, Father. We praise You for the most precious gift that Thou hast given, even Thy Holy Son, Jesus Christ. And we come in His most precious name to lift our hearts to Thee, O God, and lift our spirits to Thee, that we might have opportunity to commune with Thy Spirit this afternoon. And let Thy Spirit speak to ours, Father, that we might take in this word that Thou hast prepared for us today. And so we come, Father, with a desire to hear the truth and to understand the truth. And we come, Father, to lift up our dear brother, for he desires to stand before Thee this afternoon and to deliver the burden that's on his heart. And so, Father, give him the freedom of words and the freedom of thought, that he might just speak forth those things that You desire for Your children to hear. That we all truly might be fed this afternoon, Father. That we might rejoice. That we all might rejoice. And then truly take in this spiritual food. So we'd ask Your blessing upon this service. And that Thy Spirit would move about through this service and touch the hearts of Thy children. And bring them to a greater understanding of Thy Word and Thy truth in these last days. And the things that You desire, Father, for us to do in these last days. So we ask this blessing upon Your children now. We ask it in the most precious name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
That was beautiful, wasn't it? Now, I've truly been ministered to today. When I sat through the last service, what a blessing. And I thought to myself, if all of us could be in harmony like that, if we could have that kind of unity, in the gospel and in the faith. And we could sound like that when all of us went out and we all sounded like that and was in harmony like that. What a beautiful sound. And I thought, I know that's what the Lord wants of His people. He wants us to be in complete harmony as that choir was. And to be able to express His gospel in that kind of a way. That really ministered to me. And I thank my brothers and sisters for that ministry. That was beautiful. And where I'm at, we don't even have a piano. And without our sister Gretchen there, it's hard. We have to have somebody lead us in song. So you don't know how well you are blessed to have that kind of talent and that kind of gift in your among you to be able to be ministered by that music. And that's beautiful. I praise the Lord that I was able to be here and to partake of that this afternoon and be ministered to and filled by that. And so it just kind of struck me that if we as a people, as His people, a peculiar people, could go out into the world and we could be in that kind of harmony, in that unity, oh, there's nothing the Lord couldn't do with us. There'll be no stopping us. I'm sure today that our dear brother desires for the Lord's people to be in harmony like that. I know that he has a burden on his heart. And I know when he stands up behind this pulpit that for each one of us stands here, we're never really prepared. But we stand up here in faith, believing that this Lord that we love and we serve will be here to strengthen us and to give us the very words and the very thoughts to bring to you. So we need to pray with our brother, pray for our brother, that the Lord will give him that kind of freedom today to speak to us and to teach us. And I haven't been blessed like a lot of you out there. Some of you have known him all your life. And I suppose some of you have seen him grow up. But I've only known him for a few years. But in those few years, I've come to love him and to really appreciate him as a servant of the Lord. And so today, I don't have to introduce him to you. Now, you all know him. But I want to introduce him as the Lord's apostle. And I want to give to you now Brother Jay Mosier.
Good afternoon to each one of you. Whenever I come back to Independence, and especially during conference time, I look out on the faces of a lot of people that I've known many years. I remember I have these vague memories in my mind of being in Danny Hedrick's house and playing ping pong in his basement, playing games with the young people, playing some kind of a game, I forgot what you call it, but the girls and the boys, they separate and the girls sit in the chairs or the boys sit in the chairs, and I forgot what you call it, but slap them. What is it? I enjoyed it. I was looking over your prayer list and seeing names of people I knew and some I don't. Our lives have been intertwined. We've been called out of the world. Brother said we're a peculiar people, and that we are. We are certainly different. I think I can boldly say, you know, I believe what was told to us today by our brother Leroy Wheaton when he mentioned about that we're not the only ones. And I think that's true. We're not the only ones in this world that want to serve God. But I don't believe it's possible to go anywhere on the face of this earth to find a better group of people. And I truly mean that. I have some thoughts that I'd like to present to you. Of course, I've been praying continuously that the Lord would lead me And I believe He has. And placed upon my heart a very powerful message that I would like to try and give to you. A message of hope. Direction, vision for each one of us. And I want to try and give that to you tonight, if I possibly can, if God will permit me. I'm going to begin with a scripture in 1 Peter. During this sermon tonight, I want to try and tell you two or three stories. Couple about myself, couple about somebody else maybe. That's just funny. I just look over here at Jim over there, and I remember a time that Jim and I one time went to a young people's outing, and I don't remember where it was, some lake nearby, and a lot of us were there. And boy, we got into a big free-for-all in the water over a ball. I think it was a ball. I don't remember what it was, but we got thoroughly exhausted by the time we got out of the water trying to get the ball and throw the ball. And I just remember these things. I have participated in my life with several different congregations. I lived here and went to this local at the temple lot. I grew to love the people here. Came back once again, and I visited both locals here in Independence, and I've gotten to know and to love the people at the East Local, and in Phoenix and Collins and other places. And I would like to try and build upon what we have in common as a goal in this gospel. I'm going to read in 1 Peter, the first chapter, verse 24 and verse 25. For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth off. But the word of the Lord endureth forever, and this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. I'm thankful as I consider all these memories that I have, how I have changed and how some of you have changed, and your lives are different. But how I'm so thankful that the word of the Lord is the same. And I can go back to it any time that I have need. Any time you have need, you can go to the word of the Lord and find what you need. Well, I'm going to try and do as best I can. I went for a walk Friday. And I went down to visit Doris Rattery, and I walked down the street, and I came back. And I walked past these two little historic buildings that are just right across the street over here. Maybe you've stopped by them too, you know, where old FM used to, his study over there. And I'd never been over there, so I just walked over there to look at it. And I stopped, I was by myself. And when I got through, I stood there from that vantage point. I looked across here, and as I've had occasion to do sometimes in my life, I just asked this question of the Lord: who are we? What? Now, I don't want to, you know, I know who we are and what we believe, but I wanted to know when I asked the Lord, you know, who are we and what part does this little group of people right here have in His plan? And I walked on away, and yesterday during the solemn assembly, I had such a flood of thoughts came to me as I sat here and listened to your prayers and prayed myself, and I tried to write them down as fast as I could. These thoughts, varied thoughts, and I tried to organize them. Who are we? You know, it's important that we have some kind of an idea as to where we're going and what purpose God has with this group here, right in this room. Because I believe that for the most part, Probably the group that I'm looking at are the active membership of a Church of Christ. There are some who could not come, and they're not here with us. And we recognize that, but right here it is. This is it. And I believe that's a reality. And so where should we go? And what should we do? I'm one, I feel and believe in my heart that God, if He was to speak today, and I believe He does, if Jesus Christ were to stand in our midst, He would probably say the exact things that He said when He came to this continent and when He was across the sea in Jerusalem. He would say and use the words that He always used, and He would say them again. And I believe, as these thoughts, they rushed into my mind, what He would say, "You take up your cross." Take up your cross and follow me. Our brother today, sitting behind me, I wasn't going to do that. I wasn't going to mention who it was, but he mentioned to us of a certain aspect and a problem we have. And as in my experience, we've always had this. For some reason, we seem to kind of neglect, and it's a complicated thing. And I don't want to, you know, don't want anyone to think poorly of what I'm going to say, because these things are always two-way streets. But we have this problem sometimes of neglecting those who get discouraged and don't come. And it's a great missionary effort of our little church, and a place where we should spend some time. Well, I'm going to go and I'm going to tell you what I believe that the Master has made known unto me in my heart. And I'm going to go to the 7th chapter of Matthew, and I'm going to read here the very last verses that Christ spoke in the 7th chapter, verses 24 through 27 of the 7th chapter of Matthew. "Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken unto him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock, and the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And every one that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it." We're on the verge in our own nation when I believe the Lord's going to pull the plug. Marvin likes to use that expression, the Lord's going to pull the plug. You know, every time he sees one of us using a computer, you know, he says, "Someday the Lord's going to pull the plug and you're going to have to go back to using your pen and pencil." And it may be. But the plug I'm thinking of, you know, is the drain. He's going to pull the plug. And everybody, whoever you are, wherever you are, if you're not founded upon the gospel of Jesus Christ, you're going to go down. And right now, I believe He is already pulling it. And if we're not careful, you're going to get sucked up in all this change that's going on in the world. We heard such a beautiful chorus this afternoon. The last one I'm thinking of that we heard, the last group that was up here, they sang about the crucifixion of Christ. And if you go back and you look into Matthew the 27th chapter, or Mark the 15th chapter, or Luke the 23rd chapter, you'll find this story of where the Jews gave, and it's very significant, they gave Jesus to the Gentiles. They turned Him over because they didn't want Him. And they chose a rebel. Well, today it's reversed. And the Gentiles are now turning and they want to get rid of Jesus Christ. So many of them, not you. But they want to get rid of Him. They want to turn Him over to someone else. They don't want to be bothered with Him. And you know what they're choosing? They're choosing rebellion. I hear often in the news of these people that came from California, these people that over there in Berkeley, how they glorify themselves and say, we changed the world. And they did. They changed the world through rebellion. And they make these statements, our politicians of today, of how we were so naive once, but now we've come of age. We're no longer innocent. And by their admission, they're guilty. They're no longer innocent. And they have chosen again a rebel. And it's reversed. Chosen a rebel for their Savior. Our president, I don't know how you voted, and I don't care. Our president symbolized this generation when during the week of his inauguration, he had a great big party. And the world is on a great big party. When I was in high school, it was beginning. And I'm not proud of it, the way I lived when I was in high school. I partied. Could hardly wait, you know, after the football game to go party. Look forward to the weekend. Saw a sign the other day. I remember they used to have this saying about a commercial, you know, weekends are made for such and such a beer. And I saw that same company today, you know, what was it? How does it go? It was a different sign, you know. Something about 5 o'clock. Oh, yeah. Thank the Lord it's 5 o'clock. Now it's not the weekend, it's every day. And we're on a party. Our nation is on a party. And if we're not careful, we're going to get sucked right up in this drain. Sucked right up in it. And get washed away. I'd like to tell you a nice story that I told over at the East Local here a couple of weeks ago. To me, it has a very powerful story about one of our elders down in Mexico. His name is Fernando Castillo. And he's the oldest elder which we have in Mexico. He's 77 years old. Hardly been sick a day in his life. Has a tremendous constitution. Has a full head of white hair. And he's still strong. And still a pastor at the church in Tacul. Well, this man, Fernando Castillo, when he was, somewhere around 40 years old, he came in contact with the gospel of Jesus Christ and came in contact with the Church of Christ and was a baptized member and became a minister in the Church of Christ. And for a period of time, as he told in his own words, when we listened to him here this last year, he told how God had blessed him so, and how he loved and enjoyed those early years of the gospel down there in Yucatan. He just enjoyed them. And something transpired, and a great difficulty in our church there in Tacul. And they were meeting in a home. And there was some type of a problem. And the man who owned the home came back and told them they could no longer meet in that home. And Fernando became discouraged. And Fernando became discouraged and he left the church and went somewhere else. And he went, as they do down there in Mexico, and went back to his milpa. Walked out many miles into the jungle with several of his friends. And he went out there and he prepared his milpa. And a milpa is something which they have done for 1,000 years in Yucatan. They go out and they chop down in the springtime. They chop down the jungle, the land that they'd like to cultivate with corn. They chop it down, they let it dry for a month or two, and they come back and they burn it. And after they burn it, they prepare it and they clean it off, And then they put their corn seed in the ground. And Fernando had done this. And with his friends, he used to go up there, and sometimes he would travel away for many miles to go to his milpa. And one time he went there, and he was all by himself. There were several milpas all together, and he was by himself. And they had a house there nearby where they could sleep, and they could watch over their crops to make sure that the little varmints didn't come in and destroy the crops. And he was all by himself. And he sat there in his house. And he told us that he was sitting in his hammock and he was looking out the door of this little stick hut. And looking out the door. And he said he began to think about his life. And he began to look out there on the work which he had done in his life. And this was the result of all his labor, was sitting in front of his eyes. And he said that he began to think that if I die out here, no one will ever know. If I get sick, no one will be able to take care of me. My family will never know. And he was many miles away from his home and from his wife and from his children. And he thought, and he was feeling quite sorry for himself. And he thought in the back of his mind, and he whispered a very soft prayer up to God. And he said, "Lord, change my life." A couple of weeks went by, and he was waiting for the rains to come so that his corn would grow. And he left that place and he went away for a while, and someone else was up there, and a great storm, a rainstorm came and covered that part of the world and flooded his milpa. And he went back up to look at it. They told him about it. He was just underwater completely. And he looked at it after this couple of weeks' time had gone by, and he went back home because there was nothing he could do because it was just covered with water and mud. And he went back home, and he came back in a couple of more weeks, and it was still covered with mud. And he looked over his milpa, and he said, "Thank you, Lord, for this opportunity to change my life." And he left there and went back to Tukul. And a man, he came in contact with a man who gave him an opportunity to work for him. And he became a bricklayer's helper. And he worked for this man who contracted out to build homes and things like that. And the man was continually watching him and noticing what a hard worker he was. And the man began to feel guilty when he watched him and began to feel a compassion for this man who was in the middle of his life. And now he was trying to start over. He told him one day, he says, "You know, Fernando," he says, "you know, you need to get a better job. You know, you're too good of a worker to just be doing this kind of work and getting by just on the little amount of wages that I can give you. You need to do something else." And Fernando told him, "I can't. There's nothing else I can do." And he just continued to work for him. And the man watched him and watched him as time went on. A few more weeks went by. And finally, he just couldn't stand any longer. And the man told him again, he said, "I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll buy you your trowel and I'll buy you your instruments and I'll teach you my trade." And the man did that. And 6 months after the time that he had whispered that prayer, "Lord, change my life," his whole life was changed. And I marvel at the gospel and at the love of our Master, when this man in the middle of his life was able to change. As he looked out upon the work of his life and he saw that there really wasn't much to show. And he wasn't proud of it. Well, he continued that way and he began to attend the Baptist church. And a brother, Roger Kahn, began to visit with him and go over there and to encourage him to come back to the Church of Christ. And he did after a while. And today he's the pastor of our local down there in Tukul. And to me, this story is so powerful that a man could change his life. And in a short period of time, and it takes a lot of courage sometimes for us to offer such a prayer in faith that the Lord would change our lives. Well, Jesus, if he were here, he would tell you the same things that he told those people so long ago. He would tell them, as he told them here in the Sermon on the Mount in the 5th chapter of Matthew, he would tell them and tell us today that you are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. And this, I believe, is still our commission. It has never changed. I think as I look out here, but really, you have never looked better. Kind of an odd statement. But you have never looked better. I guess because I'm also trying to look at the whole picture of what's going on in the world. I have to look down to a little place called Waco, Texas. I look across the street. Look at our government. Look at what's going on in the world. Look over there in Russia, and you take a look and see what those people are going through. And surely they only want the same things that we do, freedom and happiness. But for some reason, they're having a terrible time. And to me, you have never looked better. As I look at you in comparison with the rest of the world. We have a great commission that we can read of in the Scriptures. It's time that we consider and opening our heart to all people, all races, all people across the face of the earth, and to learn to love all men as we love ourselves. To be willing to open up our homes. The story that they told here this afternoon about Jesus sending his disciples into Jerusalem to a man's home, and they would have the Passover there, the Passover supper. They had a custom back then in those days. And all the people who had room made room, because people came from all over the world to come to Jerusalem to worship the Passover. And it was their custom to open up rooms and to make them ready for guests and visitors. And this was such a case. And we need to be willing, I suppose, to open up our homes and our lives to things that we are not accustomed to. I want to tell you a story. It's an embarrassing story. This is one about me, and one I'm not too proud of, except that it's kind of funny in a way. When I was a little boy, probably about 9 or 10 years old, I was quite well known for my BB gun. I roamed the hills of Sedona, Arizona with my BB gun and killed ants and all kinds of things. And one day I was wandering down in my father's apple orchard, which I think now is a racquetball court. But I was wandering down there in this orchard, and there was this bird sitting in a tree. A great big red-breasted robin sitting in a tree. And I leveled my gun down upon that robin, and I pulled the trigger, and I got him. One shot. Fell out of the tree, fell on the ground, and didn't even quiver. And I walked over to take a look at that bird, and I don't know why, But at this particular time, you know, maybe it's because I heard something that my mother had said about how pretty the red-breasted robins were in the springtime. And I took a look at that robin, and I just felt like I'd committed murder. I felt so guilty, and I began to cry a little bit and to whimper as I shot this robin. And I looked at it, trying to think of some way that I could make amends. Tried to have a little funeral for it, you know, bury it, hide my sin. Well, I came to the decision that I'd have to punish myself some way. So I cocked my gun and I pointed it at my head, and I changed my mind. No, I had to think about this a little bit. You know, we want this to be a recompense that's equal. You know, we want it to somehow be even, you know. So I debated with myself, perhaps my stomach. No, I didn't like that idea either. Well, I continued to debate with myself when I finally decided upon my foot. And I pointed the BB gun at my right foot and I pulled the trigger. And boy, did that hurt. That really hurt. And then I really cried. There's just so much a little guy can take. Seems odd I'd remember something like that. I've always remembered it. I don't know why. I've always remembered it. But you know, later in my life, today I try to use that little experience. You know how foolish we are when we do something wrong? And we try, sometimes we do, don't we? We try and shoot ourselves in the foot. You know, that experience taught me that I really did not know. I did not have the wisdom to be able to punish myself properly. Didn't know what was best. I was a confused little boy. Today, I have the confidence to be able to throw myself at the mercy of my judge. And tell him to make the decision. Punish me accordingly. We can sure make a habit, you know, in your life and in your personal relationships. Try to shoot yourself in the foot when it's really useless. Of no avail. So I sat across the street the other day. I said, Lord, who are we? I wanted to know where do we place our drive and our attention in this beautiful gospel work? How I love it. I love to feel its effect upon me. I love to sit and listen to those kids singing. All is not bad. I'm not going to tell you all is well in Zion, but all is not too bad. I was never interested in singing like that when I was a kid. Of course, one time I remember singing here in the temple lot in their choir, and they found a place for me in the back row. But that didn't last too long. We have a great deal to be hopeful for. Well, I sat there, you know, and I want to read this instruction that God has given to us in these last days. And I'm going to read out of Ether. And I want to read on page 724, verse 100, chapter 1 of Ether, verse 100. And this These are the words as they are written there. For the Lord saith unto me, they shall not go forth unto the Gentiles until the day that they shall repent of their iniquity and become clean before the Lord. And in that day that they shall exercise faith in me, saith the Lord, even as the brother of Jared did, that they may become sanctified in me, then will I manifest unto them the things which the brother of Jared saw, even to the unfolding unto them all my revelations, saith Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the Father of heaven, of the heavens and of the earth, and all things that in them are. Verse 109, come unto me, O ye Gentiles, and I will show unto you the greater things, the knowledge which is hid up because of unbelief. Verse 111, behold, when ye shall rend that veil of unbelief, which doth cause you to remain in your awful state of wickedness and hardness of heart and blindness of mind, then shall the great and marvelous things which have been hid up from the foundation of the world from you. Well, several thoughts there. The Book of Mormon speaks quite extensively about the Gentiles, I believe. Talks about us. And I began to think, you know, and to consider as this flood of thoughts came across my mind as to who these people were. These Gentiles that came into this land, who were they? They came out of Europe, out of many different nations. God brought them out of Europe. And they sailed across uncharted oceans, these Gentiles. They found the straits of passage around the continents. They landed here and they marched across this continent, North and South America. And they marched across and they found the passes in one place in our history. They started off right from here in Independence, off across the prairie. Scouts and pathfinders looking for the passes across the Rocky Mountains. And that's who these people were. These were people that God brought out of the world, that He called out of the world to come to this place. The other day about our heritage, relatives gone by, generations past. And I firmly believe and have for quite some time that if we were to look into your history of your family, each one of you, we would probably find some ancestor who came. Perhaps they were pathfinders. Pioneers. You know, what we have here today, having gone to Mexico and having seen another culture, looking in the newspaper and reading about other countries in the world, sometimes as a church we look at ourselves and think we're ill-equipped. And I'd like to propose to you that we are not. I'd like to propose to you that we are equipped. Better than any people upon the face of this earth, you are the sons and the daughters of the pioneers. Of this I'm certain. These Gentiles These people who looked
for a new passage. We have a great heritage that has been handed to us today in our assembly this morning. As I reflect back upon it and I remember the testimony of Brother Leroy Wheaton, and I think about these people and these other restoration groups. And we are at a loss in our thinking as to how we can reach them. A lot of them feel very lost. And we are at a loss as to what to do. We try our best to witness to them upon every occasion as to how we can effectively reach into their lives. We have our own discouraged members. We visit them. Sometimes we travel great distances when right next door. They're right next door. Sometimes our discouraged members, they're separated by their own choice. But still we're at a loss sometimes as to how to effect a change in their lives to call them back unto us. And as I think about this great commission which we have, which is plain to me, to take this gospel to the Indian people, and sometimes we are at a loss as to how to get that gospel to them. I hope that in the near future that we will draw from our heritage, which we have, and that we will begin, as our forefathers did, to look for a way. That we will take this attitude when we look at all of these things which we must do to serve God and to take up our cross, to find the pass, to find how we get from here to there. And this is who I feel that we are in this group and assembly right here, a modern day group of pathfinders, to find the way to become more effective in our outreach to people, in our outreach in this world, to chart the courses. Not that they are not already charted for us, because I believe that they are. If we read in those scriptures, we find the answers. But still, we are at a loss sometimes when we try and think of how can we reach out to these people. But I don't feel at a loss. I feel so convinced in my heart that this is our mission, that as our brother here is up there in New York and among those Mohawk Indians, I kind of look at him as kind of like a pathfinder to find this way in across the mountain against these impossible odds. And this is who we are. You know, we learn so many things by our culture. We have this thing. It is inbred in our culture. We're different from everybody on the earth. This I know. We're different. You know, trying to, with my children, sometimes try and teach them things that I've learned, how to do this, how to build a little wood project. And you know, sometimes I find I just cannot teach them these things. Because some of the things that I have learned, I don't even know how I acquired them. And some of these things, they are inbred in us. A desire. Inbred sometimes. You know, we're a do-it-yourself nation. I am. How many of you have done so much work on your own homes, your own cars? You know, it's not like that everywhere. How many of you would like to... It's part of our heritage. And I think we are much better prepared for this work than we realize. How many of you feel like, well, here's this job. Let's do it. I want to get in there and do this, or I want to do that. I see this need and I see that need. I really rejoice when I look out and I saw these children singing. I think that's a great need for our children to sing together. I don't know all the ramifications of this care group. I think it's a good thing, a need which we have, which we must apply, looking for a way. That's our nature, looking for a way to accomplish this work. And I don't think God has to tell us every single step. We know what's right. We know who needs this gospel. And we must find the passage. Find the way to get in to these people that need this gospel. This is our heritage. I'm going to back up here in the book of Ether. And I'm going to read in this same first chapter of Ether about the brother of Jared. And I want to read his prayer. I want to read this great, beautiful prayer, beginning with verse 60 in the first chapter of Ether through verse 68. As we have been admonished in this same chapter to rend the veil of unbelief, to be like this brother of Jared. And so I want to read what he has prayed here. And it came to pass that the brother of Jared went forth unto the mount, which they called the Mount Shalem, because of its exceeding height, and did molten out of a rock 16 small stones. And they were white and clear, even as transparent glass, and he did carry them in his hands upon the top of the mount, and cried again unto the Lord, saying, O Lord, thou hast said that we must be encompassed about by the floods. And you know we are today, aren't we? We're encompassed about by floods upon every hand. Our children are in danger. Our nation is in danger. And everything you look at is changing. And now behold, O Lord, and do not be angry with thy servant because of his weakness before thee. And we know that thou art holy and dwellest in the heavens, and that we are unworthy before thee. Because of the fall, our natures have become evil continually. Nevertheless, O Lord, thou hast given us a commandment that we must call upon thee, that from thee we may receive according to our desires. Behold, O Lord, thou hast smitten us because of our iniquity and hast driven us forth. For these many years we have been in the wilderness. Nevertheless, thou hast been merciful unto us. O Lord, look upon me in pity, and turn away thine anger from this thy people, and suffer not that they shall go forth across the raging deep in darkness. But behold, these things which I have molten out of the rock, and I know, O Lord, that thou hast all power, and can do whatsoever thou wilt for the benefit of man. Therefore touch these stones, O Lord, with thy finger, and prepare them that they may shine forth in darkness. And they shall shine forth unto us in the vessels which we have prepared, that we may have light while we shall cross the sea. Behold, O Lord, thou canst do this. We know that thou art able to show forth great power, which looks small unto the understanding of men. And it came to pass that when the brother of Jared had said these words, behold, the Lord stretched forth his hand and touched the stones one by one with his finger. I find similarities with this prayer and the way which I feel. These stones, I liken them, I guess, to my own life. And I've heard in your prayers during solemn assembly, in your songs, and today when these people were up here singing, this idea of shining in darkness. It's a dark world. It's a very dark world. These stones were prepared by this man. says they were clear and white. I liken them to ourselves as individuals. And I'm praying. And I pray tonight. And I'll pray again tomorrow. And I'm asking you to do the same thing. To ask the Lord to touch you. To touch you that you can shine forth in darkness. To touch your life, to change your life, so that you can shine forth in this dark world. To show the light which we do have. We have this light. And we can shine forth in darkness. But it would be very difficult if these stones are a little bit dirty. If the Lord's finger could not actually touch that stone. If there was some mud on it. It would be very difficult. So try to keep your lives clean and ready before our Lord that He will touch you. And I have had these experiences in my life, and I'm sure that each one of you has had these experiences also, that there have been times when you have cried out and the Lord answered the prayer immediately. Help me this moment. Touch me so that I can shine in this world for you. The Lord will do it. And I believe begin to open up ways and help us that we can reach out to people that we meet so often, these lost souls in the world. Brother Marvin mentioned several of these times how there's a great confusion in this world. We need to try and be the solution to this confusion. Well, I'm going to bring this thought to an end. As I sat there yesterday, I always pray continually that my brothers and sisters will have a greater testimony of the truth of the gospel and also a testimony about our church. Kind of hard to really work for, to bring people into it if you don't have some kind of a testimony about it. I listened to the prayers and I could not help but think, as this flood of thoughts came upon me, and in humility, I truly believe that the Spirit of God made this known unto me, that you are the children of the pioneers. It's your heritage. Find the way. Find the way to take this gospel to the people that you know that need it. Find the way. Blaze the trail. And if all of these things, you know, we have gone through from time to time, trials, great emotional trials. We're an emotional people. But after all this, if still in your heart you have this desire to serve, and you still choose God, and I feel to say to you that He still chooses you.
Thank you, Brother Jay. I guess, does anybody have an announcement or anything to give before we're just going to meet here at 9 o'clock in the morning for business? Why don't we close with hymn 189. Shall we stand? bow with me? Father, we truly, Father, we praise you for this time that we spent together with you, and that we've sat under the ministry of thy apostle, and that we've taken in the word, Father, that thou desired for us to hear today. And truly, Father, we know that we are your children and we are children of the light. We pray that we might have the courage, Father, and the desire to yield ourselves to thee and have the faith to step out as that children of light, that you can use us and we can be a light in a dark world. For the day is a world of darkness. And there's so many people out there, Father, that are hurting and are in despair and need to know this Jesus Christ that we love so much and we desire to share. And I know deep within the heart of each one of us, we have a great desire to share this Christ, to share the love of that Christ and the joy of that Christ with those around us. So, Father, give us opportunity and give us discernment that we may be able to discern the hearts of those around us and have opportunity to share the light and to share our testimony of this marvelous Christ and of his gospel and this last great work, this work of the restoration in these last days. And Father, may we never, ever lose the vision of Zion, and may we always walk forth with that light. And we truly, Father, desire to be the children of the light. So bless us this as we leave here, that we might go forth with a desire in our heart to be your children and to share this gospel. We thank thee, God, for thy apostle, Jimmy, as he stood before us today. We thank you for the word that he brought us, and may we take it deep within our heart. And we just want to praise you, Father, and tell you how much we appreciate you and how much we love you, Father. And we pray in the name of our precious Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.